Welcome to Empowered From Within, a special series under Unapologetically Hers 2024-2025 Participatory Action Research Leadership Program. I'm your host, Precious Johnson, and I bring both experience and commitment to this critical conversation. This series is based on research conducted by incarcerated community researchers at Central California Women's Facility, exploring peer perspectives on job readiness and assessing current prison programs. Their findings highlight both the barriers to reentry and opportunities for change. Over 10 episodes, you'll hear firsthand from those currently incarcerated and those who have successfully reentered society. We'll examine challenges in job readiness programs, discuss access and equity in prison education, and explore ways to create real systematic change. Join us as we amplify these voices and push for meaningful action. Let's dive in. I'm honored to be joined by community researcher Courtney Francis, whose work has captured the powerful strategies and personal insights that keep our peers focused, resilient, and ready for the challenges ahead. Before we dive into our main discussion, Courtney, can you share a bit about your incarceration and your journey as a community researcher in this area?
Hey, everyone. My name is Courtney. I'm currently serving a 20-year sentence, and I've been incarcerated for 10 years. My journey as a community researcher was both liberating and challenging at the same time. I say this because it required me to step outside of my comfort zone, and by that, I mean having to take on a task where I lacked confidence the most, which was having to engage in conversations with my community members on a whole nother level. Man, talking is not something I am comfortable doing. However, I wasn't going to allow the fear or the limitations that I placed on myself to prevent me from being able to be a part of something that was bigger than me. You know, this research opened up a pathway to reach out to our peers and gather information and to show them that we may not be able to fix everything, but at least this is a start for their voices to be heard.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for that, for sharing that. What inspires you to get a part of this work? What inspired you to be a part of this research on motivation and self-empowerment?
What inspired me was being able to relate with my peers who, like myself, dealt with not being motivated and lacking confidence in some area of our lives. This research provided a platform to spread awareness, and it gave me an opportunity to be the voice for my community.
Absolutely. And what experiences have you struggled with that had you have low confidence or not be motivated? Can you share some experiences or some stories where you lacked confidence and motivation in your life, which in turn inspired you to be a part of this work?
Yeah, my lack of confidence came from being incarcerated and not having a GED or my high school diploma. Not having that education really hindered me, and it created a barrier, you know, a lot in my personal life and just how I just feel myself. A lot of self-doubt and a lot of insecurities came from that lack of education. And during this time, I was fortunate to have, you know, a lifer that was here, you know, in my corner who was really motivated and driven. And I remember thinking that I wanted that same drive, but I just didn't know how to get there because of that lack of confidence that I had in my abilities to obtain my education. And this lifer, she actually really pushed me and she believed in me and she seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. And when you have someone that's able to see that, it makes you want it and push yourself even harder, you know. And that's what I did. And I eventually ended up getting my GED, and now I'm a college student, 3 classes away from obtaining my AA, which I would have never felt that was possible. But when you have those good influences in your life, you know, it makes a big difference.
Sounds like, you know, having a mentor while doing time is very vital to one's motivation and inspiration. Is that true for you, at least?
Yeah, that's definitely true for me. That's why I'm where I'm at today, you know, just keep having that support and that motivation, you know, in my life definitely helped me get to where I'm at today.
Now that you're at that place, right, you have someone that was helping you and actually, you know, pushed you to get your GED and your education, and now you're in college, right? You know, they say new levels, new devils, right? And so now that you're at that place, like, how are you staying motivated? to continue participating in job readiness programs while you're still doing time? Like, how are you staying motivated while you're preparing for your transition for your release?
Now that I'm at this place, for me, there's no going back. So it's only up from here. And the way I stay motivated is choosing not to focus on the things that I cannot control, not allowing myself to become complacent, making sure I have goals in place and a plan that is going to help me reach those goals, and always looking for different ways to learn and taking advantage of every opportunity that can contribute to my growing process, and always having an open mind. I feel having an open mind and the right attitude would definitely help impact my transition to the workforce.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 1,000%. You know, when I was incarcerated 2 years ago, that was the thing that really kept me focused on my parole hearing was, you know, having a plan, staying positive, having a support network, networking, having a mentor, you know, and just continuing to dream and just dream of my freedom. And so everything you said is spot on. Can you share an example or a specific story from your interviews that talk about how peers are staying focused despite the obstacles they're faced with inside?
Yeah. One peer who had a 15-year to life sentence, she said the first 9 years was disappointing for her. She was getting write-ups after write-ups, getting involved in unhealthy relationships, and she was in her addiction at the time. She mentioned how she eventually got tired and had to dig deep and hard to shed away negative behaviors. She also said that she was coming up on a board hearing where she had to do a psych evaluation. At this point, she was 4 years writer-free, and during her psych evaluation, she said she scored a high risk for violence. She said at that point, she made a choice to push off board a year to give her more time to prepare. She mentioned, although she was 4 years writer-free, she knew that her past had played a big part in her scoring a high on her psych eval. She said during this time, she was going back and forth with being hopeful and being discouraged. She said, but she leaned on family and friends who kept reminding her how far she came, and she seeked God and rested in his promises, which gave her reassurance that she was able, I mean, that she was enough. And at this point, she knew that she wanted to change for the better.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, those deep insights. You know, the parole process can be very brutal when folks are not fully prepared and ready. And so thank you for sharing that. And I hope that her situation has turned out better for her. You know, you talked about having a goal and a plan and how you stay motivated, right? Do you feel like having goals and a plan has reduced self-doubt for you and for folks inside that you have talked to?
Yeah, I think by having a plan, self-doubt can definitely be reduced. A level of confidence can be built. Because if you have a plan set in place, you are able to see your progress. And if you can see how far you come, you'll be motivated to keep going. You know, when I feel prepared, I feel fearless and hopeful. For me, that being, you know, having a confidence that comes from awareness and being knowledgeable. Because when I am aware, I can get prepared. And when I am knowledgeable, that's where most of my confidence comes from.
So it sounds like maintaining a forward-thinking mindset and setting achievable goals not only helps individuals stay motivated, but also builds the confidence necessary for success after release.
Yes, you can have a plan and have goals and you can achieve them. Your confidence will definitely be built, you know, not only while incarcerated, but after.
Absolutely. Let's move on to discuss the specific strengths and skills that peers have developed during their time inside.
The strengths that community members highlighted were communication skills, teamwork, resilience, and determination. I had one peer say having the communication skills for her was being able to communicate, help her express her needs and present her concerns clearly, and making it easier to collaborate with coworkers and supervisors. And she felt, you know, definitely having that kind of strength would help her in securing and maintaining employment after release.
Yes, communication is everything, right? Communication is de-escalating the situation while you're incarcerated. And it's also being able to de-escalate a situation when you're out here in the workforce. And so communication is a big skill that folks are going to need. Based on your interviews, What common factors do community members mention that keep them motivated to participate in job readiness programs? And how do they believe this motivation will influence their transition into the workforce?
You know, I talked to one participant and she stated that she finds it hard to stay optimistic and work as the kitchen worker, being that it's not what she's passionate about. She then went on to say she feels that she has lost sight of any value in life due to a current custody battle over her kids. She then said she feels she has no control over her own academic interests or her life at this point. She also stated that as a result of her lack of interest, she finds herself lacking the motivation to stay productive because of the things that's happening in her personal life and the fact that she's working a job she doesn't even want to do. I spoke with another peer. She said what motivated her to work and go to school is the fact that she's been incarcerated for over 15 years. Her son passed away, and everyone she associated with was either in college or parole. And she started feeling left behind and was tired of making excuses on why she still had not received her GED. However, there were some good pointers that were shared that influenced a positive transition into the workforce. Some peers said having goals and a plan, having support for family and organizations, and just being able to see the benefits in the programs that are provided here can help them transition into the workforce.
Right. It sounds like folks are using what they got, right? Turning lemons into lemon juice. But I want to talk specifically about the programs that you guys have there that's helping folks to transition. What are folks saying about being job ready, right? And being motivated? Do you folks have anything there that's helping you guys prepare and cultivate a positive mindset outside of self-help groups? What's needed there right now? What's vital that folks are requesting and they need right now to help them be motivated for a workforce that is completely different from what's inside?
Definitely what's needed here, you know, talking to community members, they voice not having programs that teach how to build resumes or show them how to do cover letters, or even not having training programs that can help you build that confidence towards going out and looking for a job. Because of the lack of resources that we have, it definitely can create barriers, you know, and people finding that employment because of the lack of knowledge that we are not exposed to.
Absolutely. And what are folks doing to prepare for careers that feel overwhelming to them, right? Like, you have web design out here, you have social media marketing out here, folks have different jobs, but yet you guys don't have them inside. How are folks preparing for those fears?
You know, to be honest, there are many strategies that we can use. You know, however, I learned from peers that they write to different organizations. They reach out to family and friends, asking them to look up certain things online because we don't have that access to the internet. Talking to other community members, asking questions, reaching out to formerly incarcerated individuals for advice. You know, one peer, she stated being able to take the negative and turn it into a positive was not easy, with feeling that she had no choice but to elevate or stay incarcerated with all the few that she needed to stay motivated. She said there was times that she wanted to give up, but looking back and seeing how far she has come, she realized she needed to create a plan and set goals towards a career.
Thank you, Courtney, so much for sharing those wonderful stories and quotes about folks inside and the challenges that our folks are facing while they're in these jobs and still going through real life problems, right? Let's continue on from the conversations you've had. What strengths or skills have people highlighted as being developed through their experiences there? And how do they feel these will support them in securing and maintaining employment after release?
Some strengths that community members highlighted were determination, adaptability, and communication skills. One peer said being able to communicate helps you express your needs and concerns clearly, making it easier to collaborate with coworkers and supervisors. She also went on to say being able to
be resilient in realizing, being resilient and show that you're able to cope with challenges and stay motivated and under stress and build confidence and continue to maintain positive relationships.
Yeah, well, those are really important things that folks have to learn, right? Before folks get out and try to get back into the workforce. And communication is everything, especially inside, right? That saves you from getting in trouble, getting write-ups, and keeping your job inside, right?
Right.
Right. And it's definitely going to help when folks are released back into the world and into the workforce. Drawing from your interviews, how do community members empower themselves to recognize their professional worth? Even after facing significant challenges, how are folks still trying to polish up their professional skills inside of their, despite all the challenges and despite the lack thereof, programs and upgraded technology in there?
Now, I have one member share that she works at JFM, and she talked about how she shows up to work every day and on time and ready to do her job. She mentioned that working there is a challenge for her at times because her coworkers only come to work to steal or hang out. And sometimes they don't show up at all. And she voiced that management sucks. She stated how she does a lot of overtime and sometimes goes in to work on her off days because they need coverage. And the workers that are assigned to the weekends, they don't show up. She says she was able to recognize her professional worth because it showed her character and her bosses that they can depend on her and that she is a responsible worker.
How frustrating, right? I used to work at HFM. Did you used to work at HFM too?
Yes, I used to work there as well.
I've had those same experiences. What helped you to continue to polish your professional skills while working there and staying motivated?
It was frustrating for me working there as well. But I think what kept me going was the fact that I am a hard worker and I enjoyed working and I enjoyed my job regardless of the challenges that I was faced with. And just wanted to just continue on is what kept me going through. But there were signs where I wanted to give up and quit, just based on the fact that some of the workers, they didn't do their job and I had to pick up the slack and do their job for them as well as mine. But in that, I was able to see my hard work. And it paid off. It shows what kind of person I was and that I value the work that I do. And regardless of what my coworkers choose to do, I maintain and stay focused and continue doing my job.
Absolutely. I commend you for pushing through that and continuing to build your professional skills through those type of challenges. Do you think that any type of sort of class or mentorship or workshop would have helped you to navigate those things better if you had that available to you inside when you were going through those things?
Definitely. I think if we had some classes or workshops that can teach us how to perform, while working and the things that are expected of us, would definitely help. Because you have people who are incarcerated who never worked jobs, and these are the only jobs that they have worked. And some people are not motivated to work certain jobs, or they don't care for whatever reasons. But if you definitely have workshops, I think it would make a big difference in how people take their jobs serious.
Yeah, I want to touch bases on that for a second. You mentioned that some people were just not motivated. And if you guys had workshops and classes and mentorship to help folks get motivated, how big of it is an issue inside that folks are not motivated?
It's a big issue. You have a lot of incarcerated individuals who are not motivated, like I said, for whatever reasons, whether it's personal or they're just not ready to make a difference or a change in their lives. And it's easy to get complacent in this place when you're not motivated or when you don't have certain jobs that you want to work, or you're hanging around certain influence or that's not pushing to do anything different. You become stuck, and not wanting to do anything.
Right. And when I was there, people getting stuck looked like getting write-ups, you know, not going to work, getting extra time, drinking hooch, that sort of a thing, getting into trouble. And so is that still something that's happening inside, Courtney? It is. Do you think that that's a direct connection with folks lacking motivation?
Definitely something that's happening still to this day. Honestly, I think it's gotten worse. I mean, you have folks walking around just doing what they do, you know, smoking, drinking. It's just like it's normalized as if it's just something to do. And it's just everywhere. They're getting right up. The yard is constantly going down because people are acting out because they don't have that motivation. And who knows why you're not motivated? And they probably don't have people that's taking the time out to even sit and try to figure out why they're behaving the way that they're behaving. But if you have workshops or more programs or different career jobs in here that people could relate to, then I think it could make a difference, you know, on how people choose to do their time.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Based on what you've learned from others, what strategies do people use when preparing for a career that feels overwhelming to them? Whether inside, you know, freshly getting locked up and they've never had a job, right? And they get thrown into these jobs. Or if they are getting ready to be released and they're going to go into the workforce after being down for so many years. Like, what strategies are people using inside to overcome these fears?
To be honest, there aren't many strategies that we could use. However, I've learned from peers that they write to different organizations. They reach out to family and friends, asking them to look up certain things online because we don't have that access to internet. Talking to other community members, asking questions, reaching out to the formerly incarcerated population for advice. One peer stated, you know, being able to take the negatives and turn it into a positive was not easy. But still, in that she had no choice but to elevate or stay incarcerated was all the fuel that she needed to stay motivated. She said there was times she wanted to give up, but looking back and seeing how far she had come, she realized she needed to create a plan and set goals towards a career in optometry.
Okay, so the strategies that some folks are using is networking, talking to their peers, asking family for online resources, and definitely sounds like having a goal and a plan in mind.
Yes. Those strategies is what works for them when they feel overwhelmed.
What is folks saying about how they plan to combat isolation once they get home and are looking, you know, to get back into the workforce and going after their career goals?
Insight that I gathered from our peers was reconnecting with family, getting involved with nonprofit organizations, doing volunteer work throughout community, finding new hobbies, going to the gym, working out, finding people who have similar goals as them. They still doing these things will be a way to avoid getting lonely. Now, after talking to one of my peers, she says she feels that in order for her to successfully reintegrate back into society, it will deeply depend on the nature and the quality of her support system.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Coming home and, you know, applications are online, interviews are Zoom or FaceTime, and sometimes interviews are two or three interviews with 3 to 4 to 5 different people. During the interview could be very intimidating. And so reaching out and having a support network once you get out to face those challenges are super important. What steps or actions are folks inside have suggested help rebuild their confidence in their abilities to pursue meaningful employment after release, although they're not really motivated to work in the kitchen or clothing or canteen, right? Like, how are they rebuilding their confidence to, you know, to go into the workforce, even though they're not really confident while incarcerated?
Yeah, after having several conversations with my community members, they feel there is not any real actionable steps that can be taken that would help with meaningful employment. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, we have self-help groups that can contribute to our personal growth and we can rebuild our confidence in that way. But when it comes to employment, we don't have that confidence. For example, there are no programs that teach us how to build a resume or even show us how to do a cover letter. There are no training programs that are geared towards helping us build our confidence towards employment. And not to mention, most of us have spent years or decades in prison. For the most part, many of us haven't really lived in society. And because of our convictions, we lose out on employment and other opportunities. I feel not having that access or that exposure can create barriers and hinder us from pursuing employment or even having updated technology. If we want to have that, I think it could definitely be a start in rebuilding our confidence and we can be more prepared.
I totally agree with everything you just said. I was incarcerated 2 years ago and none of those things were available. And had they been available, I would have had a definite fresh start in navigating, you know, employment once I got out. And so folks are requesting the right things right now for their transition home. Based on your discussions, how do people manage moments of self-doubt or fear regarding their ability to succeed in a new job? And what strategies have they found effective?
One of my peers stated that she feels she managed her feeling of self-doubt by not ostracizing herself from opportunities or allowing others within her environment to deter her from being successful. She did stated the strategies that worked for her are being focused, not allowing room for distractions and her determination.
Thank you, Courtney. Looking back over your research and these conversations, what is the one key insight about motivation and self-empowerment that you believe can truly transform our approach to reintegration?
The key insight that I believe can truly transform our approach to reintegration is believing in ourselves and not giving up despite the challenges and having a clear plan that will help you navigate the workforce after incarceration and being resilient and having the grit to keep moving forward no matter how many times you may be knocked down.
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%. This seems that a combination of clear goal setting, supportive networks, and positive self-talk not only rebuilds confidence, but also sets a strong foundation for success, both inside and beyond those walls.
Yes. Having a clear plan and having that insight will definitely help you upon release and while you're still inside. You know, just stay motivated and just knowing what you want for yourself and just going for it.
Thank you so much, Courtney. Today, we've explored how staying motivated, building on our strengths, and embracing self-empowerment can reshape folks' future. Our discussion highlighted the importance of preparation, supportive networks, and personal resilience in overcoming doubt and achieving career goals. Courtney, do you have any final advice for our listeners on how to cultivate this mindset and support each other during this journey?
Yeah, so the way you can gain this mindset is just by trusting in your abilities and never counting yourself out, because everyone's experiences are different and we all deserve a second chance to become our best selves in spite of our past. In fact, I don't believe that one should hide in the shadows because they committed a crime. And always remember that you are more than one chapter or one situation in your life. So just take advantage of every opportunity and do better.
Thank you so much, Courtney, for being a part of this critical conversation on job readiness, staying motivated, you know, in self-empowerment during incarceration and preparing folks for the workforce after release. Thank you again for coming on and sharing those great quotes and insights.
And no problem. You're welcome. And thank you for having me, you know, and to be a part of this journey.
Most definitely. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to Empower From Within. A special thank you to our guests for sharing their invaluable insights and our community researchers and to our listeners for being part of this critical conversation. If you believe in the power of self-empowerment and the importance of job readiness for system-impacted individuals, visit uahers.org to learn more, share your feedback, get involved, or support this work. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as we continue exploring the realities of reentry, workforce readiness, and the systematic changes needed to build a more just future.